If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 16. We're looking at this passage that we have been studying concerning the second missionary trip of Paul and Silas. And of course, we learned that God leads through disagreements that men may have. We also learned that God leads through discipleship, how God used Paul to lead Titus, Timothy, Silas, all of these different individuals through discipleship means to bring them into ministry. That includes John Mark and Barnabas as well. They're included in that. And then last time we looked at how God leads to the Holy Spirit direction. Holy Spirit direction. And we saw how that they sought to go north. They sought to go east. They sought to go south. And what does the Bible say? Each time they tried to go in those directions, what did the Holy Spirit do? He forbade them from going. And then we left off last time with verse 10. Verse 9, where we have the vision of the Macedonian man in a dream that that Paul had. And he said, "Come over unto Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering, now notice this, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So we have there the direction of God's Spirit. Not only the forbidding of God's Spirit to go into those other areas, but what direction did he have them go? Macedonia was west. So God closed off the other avenues and gave clear direction which way to go. And it says that there were assuredly a gathering, that this was the direction. I want us to know something as before we go into our next point here, that the Holy Spirit does not create confusion in his children's lives. There are many that talk about how they're just confused. They don't have any idea what God would have them to do. Well, they need to speak to God directly and ask him for the Holy Spirit's direction, because God's Spirit always leads in the right direction, and it's clearly given.
Amen.
Before, in the other three directions, it's easy to get discouraged. Well, we can't go north. Well, there's a need there, God. Those people need the gospel up there. No, I don't want you to go there yet. Well, let's go east. Well, that's where they had just come from. No, not there. Let's go south. Holy Spirit said no. It's easy to get discouraged in that particular moment and say, "I just don't know what God wants me to do." But what happened immediately? God sent a message to Paul concerning the people to the west that needed the gospel. They needed, the word there it's used there is help. Do you realize that the gospel ministry is a ministry of delivering help? You know, you think about things that we need help with. This morning we were helping them unload the trailer to get the stuff ready for the turkey fry, and then unloading Mrs. Erickson's van and Ben's truck and all the stuff that we had. We were helping each other. But the gospel help is different. The gospel help is eternal in value. It's the kind of help that puts you in Christ and therefore secure for all eternity. John said this, "No man is able to pluck you out of my hand." You're set. You're completely set for the future. And so, though they may have been discouraged, we have no record of that in the text here, but I know I would be. Well, we tried to go north, we tried to go east, we tried to go south, and the Spirit forbade us from going. What are we supposed to do? You know, our ministry has had that kind of outcome through the years. I remember Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs telling the stories of buying property out off of Avalon and wanting to build the school there. They had Dr. Fremont from Bob Jones and Dr. Bob Third and invited all these special guests to come out, and it rained for a solid week that week. And when the bulldozer went out there to start clearing land, it sunk. It was clear from that moment that that wasn't the place where Santa Rosa Christian School was to be built. Now, you talk about discouragement. You got these guest speakers. We're gonna build out here right off of I-10. I mean, that what seems to us to be a perfect location and whatever, but God knew that the water was underneath the soil and it would not support buildings. But then within just a few weeks, the Lord provided the property that we're on right now with options to buy additional tracts. Right in the highest part of Milton, we've got a ministry that God's been able to use right on the main thoroughfare, and God has been pleased to do that. Sometimes He closes doors. And Christian, that's just as wonderful as an open door. Amen. I'm here to tell you. A closed door is just as wonderful as an open door. Now, we learn from 1 Peter chapter 1 that these regions, north, east, south, will be reached. They will be reached with the gospel because Peter makes mention of those very areas. But at this time, God wants Paul and Silas to go west. So they're assuredly given that opportunity. But I want you to notice something else that I don't want you to miss from our text from last time, 2 weeks ago. Notice this. Verse 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and they prayed, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, I want you to notice the pronoun. What is it?
We.
Now, what was it back in verse 8? And they went to Troas. They went to Troas. Now it's, and we. You know who was added to the team?
Luke.
In a very casual way, we learn that God sent him west to Troas because God had a doctor there ready to go. It's interesting here that Paul's going to need a doctor on this trip. And God supplied one before Paul even knew he was going to need one. Now, this is the wonder of walking in God's will and God's plan. Not pushing down closed doors, but allowing God to close and open doors. God had a doctor by the name of Luke in Troas. And Luke joins Paul and Silas in their travels westward. Now, you talk about encouraging. I know that many of us go to the doctor, right? Many of us spend a lot of time at the doctor. Some don't, maybe not have to do it as often or whatever. But, you know, it's kind of nice to know that you've got somebody that knows about the human body, right? You can do Google if you want to. Right? There are a lot of people that doctor by Google. Dr. Google. As a matter of fact, I actually have articles about Dr. Google where people no longer go to the doctor. They just Google everything and find out whatever. Well, you can do that if you want to, but there's just something refreshing about somebody that has studied the human body and knows about certain things that can help you. You might think, well, I don't need to worry about anything, but sometimes God says you need to worry. You need to have somebody there that can take care of it. God knew in advance that Paul and Silas would need a doctor. We don't know at this point why. But God knew in advance, and when they got to Troas, Luke joins with them, and they become we. And they travel together. We have no record of Luke being cast into the prison at Philippi. No record of that. Isn't that interesting? God kept him out of that. And when Paul and Silas were released, who was there to care for their wounds? Luke was there. So, pay attention to the pronouns. And I'll talk about pronouns. I saw a meeting this week. It said the two pronouns for some of those are has and been. I don't know. But pronouns in the scriptures are important. And they went to Troas, and then we leaving Troas. God had a beautiful picture. Again, spirit direction. Spirit direction. Christian, we need to be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit in the leading through His Word. We need to be sensitive to that. I believe that God's Spirit still leads today. Now, there have been excesses, obviously, in that regard. But that doesn't mean that we just shut off any talk about the Holy Spirit. We need to be sensitive. The Holy Spirit was given as God's gift to us as the comforter. What brings comfort? Knowing what you're supposed to do. Knowing how you're supposed to act. Knowing all these different things that God has told us in His Word. The Spirit takes that and teaches us. He illuminates that for us. So, they assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now I want to get to the fourth one today. How God leads. God leads through strategically directed encouragement and difficulty. I want to say that again. God leads through strategically directed encouragement and difficulty. I want you to notice something. God put in place Luke to be there to encourage. Amen? He put him there to encourage. Let me get a coffee up real quick. You know, strategically placed people in our lives are important. I want you to note something. I'm going to tell a story here. I read this again recently. In 1929, on New Year's Day, there was a football game that took place between Georgia Tech and the University of California. This was in 1929. Obviously before all of you were born, right? And there was a man by the name of Roy Rigels. And guess what he did in the football game? He scooped up a fumble and ran the wrong way and scored a touchdown for the other team. The only touchdown that would be scored that whole game. He scored it for the other team. When he came off the field, everybody was booing. I mean, it was just chaos. And so the halftime came, they went back in there, and this is what Roy said. I can't do this. I've ruined you, coach. I've ruined the University of California. I've ruined myself. I cannot face the crowd in the stadium to save my life. And the coach, whose name was Nibs Price, you talk about a name, Nibs Price, pulled him over to the side. And he said to him the following, Roy, get up and get back in there. The game is only half over. California lost that day. Strange total, 7-6. The only touchdown that was scored was by Roy. And they had two field goals for the Georgia Tech team. But it was a 6-7 game, and Roy Rigels played the second half. Coach put him in. He played the second half. This is what Roy Rigels said years later. I gained true understanding about life from my Rose Bowl experience. I learned you can bounce back from misfortune and view it as just something adverse that took place in the moment, but had a lifelong learning curve. You know what they did? They put him in the Hall of Fame. He never played beyond college football, but they put him in the Cal Hall of Fame. They put him in the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. Now, he's famous for something that you probably don't want to be famous for, and that's scoring at the wrong end of the field. But in life, Let me just read this. In 1991, Rigels was inducted into the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. He was posthumously elected to Cal's Hall of Fame in 1998. In 2003, a panel from the College Football Hall of Fame and CBS Sports chose Rigels' wrong way run in the Rose Bowl as one of the six most memorable moments of the century. Of the century. Because it was filmed in 1929. So they had it on footage. Now, here's a guy that ran the wrong way. Let me ask you something. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because I think you probably hit each other getting your hand up. How many of you have run the wrong way in life on occasion? Yeah. We've all had a Roy Rivals moment. But then there's a Nibs Price that comes alongside and says, get up, get back in there. We've only played one half. Now, Nibs Price was asked years later, how come you didn't chew him out? He said, listen, that man ran the wrong way, and he already knew it. Why was I going to repeat something to him that he already knew? He said, I had to fix his attitude for the second half. So I told him to get up and go back out there, and I put him back in the game. Now, I want you to know something. In life, there's going to be setbacks. There are going to be things that come along in our lives that are going to set us back. But isn't it wonderful to know that there's Christ right beside us, our mediator? Christ, the one that stands before the throne of God and makes our intercessions known to the Father. And the Holy Spirit, through Christ, is able to communicate the prayer requests that sometimes in our tears or in our grief, we can't even utter. You know what? We need to understand that God sometimes places strategically directed events in our lives that will encourage us, but also through the difficulty will make us more of what we need to be for Him. This man, Roy Rivals, said, I was a better man because of my coach. They stayed in contact with each other for the rest of their lives. Nibs Price died in the 40s, and he said, I lost one of the greatest mentors I ever had in my life. He taught me how to live. And you know what Christ does? Christ says, I'm going to live through you. He's not only teaching us how to live, but He wants to live through us, each and every one of us. And you know how He does that? Through the Spirit of God. Through the Holy Spirit that indwells each and every one of us. So there is strategically directed encouragement that comes. God knew that at Philippi, that Paul and Silas would be arrested, that they would be beaten badly, and they would be put in stocks. And God already had a plan in place. He was going to send an earthquake that night because those two men were going to be singing His praises at midnight. We learned that here in this passage of Scripture. But the lead up to it is very, very important. Many times we come to Acts 16, we jump right to, you know, what happens at Philippi. That's an exciting part of the story. But you got to see the lead up and how God is leading and working in hearts and lives. Therefore, verse 11, loosing from Troas, we, there's that we again, different verse, we came with a straight course to Samothracia and the next day to Neapolis. And from this to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now again, the we is important. Now it's Paul, Silas, and Luke. The three are now ministering together. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So here they go out to a river there in Philippi. This is before the event. And there are women that are known to gather there for prayer. Isn't it wonderful, praying women? For women to get together and to pray together. And Paul heard about their prayer meeting, and he said, we're going to go down to the river today. And there he found them. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. A fourth person added to the team. Lydia. She's a salesperson. She's a seller of purple. It's interesting. To extract the purple dyes, they had to break shellfish open. That's not an easy job. Crushing shellfish and separating the dye that was inside the shellfish and then collecting that and then using it to for the purpose of dyeing material and things of that nature. And by the way, it was a pretty good paying job from what all scholars tell us. Somebody that sold dye was somebody that was going places. They were making good money. And here's this woman, when she's down there with the group praying, and she becomes a believer in Christ and invites Paul and Silas to come over to her place. If you found me faithful, will you come to my house? And she constrained them to come. She's going to become a new member of the team. Now, what did I say about God leading through strategically directed encouragement? We haven't gotten to the section yet. That's in the future message coming up. About what happened in God's leadership of strategically directed affliction that came into Paul and Silas's life. But before they came there, God brought some women into the lives of Paul and Silas and Luke, who were prayer warriors. They were prayer warriors. What is a prayer warrior? A prayer warrior is someone who goes directly to God to glorify His name, to praise His matchless name, to ascribe worth to Him, but also brings, through intercession, people before God. People, events, elections, things that need to be prayed for. And these ladies met down there by the river on a regular basis, as they were wont to do. In other words, they met on a regular basis and they faithfully prayed. And as a result of that, God puts on this team, a lady by the name of Lydia. She's going to become a patroness. She is going to support Paul and his ministry. She is going to open her home to ministry. She is going to be an encouragement to the Apostle Paul. Now, who put all these ducks in a row? Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God put all these things as an encouragement to His servant. They're in a strange place. They've never been to Philippi before. It's a place known for paganism. It's a place known for all kinds of things, including, as we're going to see, a girl who's possessed of spirits. And when Paul intervenes, the people that she was making money for in her predictions as someone possessing a spirit and so forth like that. So now we're going to have a battle of spirits here. The Holy Spirit and those spirits. And Paul casts the demon out, and guess what they do? They throw him into prison because they lost their source of income. God put in place, ahead of all these events, encouragement for His servant. I want you to stop and think for just a moment what God has done for you over the past week. You think about it. Each day of this past week, I've had a pattern in my life for years and years on Sunday morning to go back and thank God for what happened on each day of the week. Going back through, looking at the different things. You remember what happened on Monday? I don't even remember what I had for breakfast. What was Monday? Veterans Day. Thank you. Thanking the Lord for our veterans. Thanking the Lord for those that have served. I ran into a couple of them this week. Just and some of them had veterans badges on from Vietnam. I went over there and shook their hand and thanked them for their service. I said, I know you probably didn't get a handshake when you came back from Vietnam. You probably got spat on them. But I just want you to know I appreciate you. What has God done? When I was a child, there were men and women serving in Vietnam, giving their lives to slow communism. Now, we can debate back and forth whether it was a just war or not. I don't know. I was just a baby then. But I know this. Some of the most influential men that have been in my life growing up were people that fought in Vietnam. Can you think about that for just a moment? My first job out of high school, Roger and I, we worked for a Vietnam veteran, Mr. Coleman. Mr. Coleman gave us a job. And our job was installing post office metal boxes at apartment complexes. Not exactly what you call a fabulous job. Early mornings, waiting for him to come pick us up. Sometimes he'd forget to pick us up. We'd sit out there for hours at the end of our street, waiting for him to come up in his pickup truck and take his Pensacola to work. But that man, first time I'd ever worked for a man outside of Gospel Project, that man taught me a lot. I learned so much. I learned how to drive heavy equipment under Mr. Coleman. I learned how to do different things that I have never done before in my life because of Mr. Coleman. And he flew choppers in Vietnam. If he'd see a chopper fly over, he saw one fly, one of those, what was it called?
Cobra.
The Cobra fly into Pensacola, and we took off through Pensacola following the Cobra, and it went on there. He had a commercial license, was allowed to go in there. He took us in there, and we got to sit in the Cobra helicopter for the first time. I mean, the man was rabid about his service in the military. He was a pilot for Air Florida for a while. But he taught us a lot. Vietnam vet. There were a lot of things he learned while over there that set him in good stead for life. And he was a believer in Christ. That was an amazing influence as well. So I want you to understand. Think about what happened each day this week. Monday, Veterans Day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Do you see evidence of God's Holy Spirit leading and directing in your heart and life? Do you see evidence of that? In the scriptures that you read each day, do you see the Spirit's working in your heart to teach you and to instruct you in the Word? The events that took place on those days. Maybe your day was uneventful. Praise God for that. You know, who wants eventful days that can cause difficulty? But you know what? On a Thursday, I got the call from Mike. You think about what he's been going through and the ups and downs over the past 2 years. And yet, he said this, God's in control. God's in control. That was an encouragement to me. That he understands and knows that God is at work. Even though he's had cancer remission. Cancer remission. Now we're in the third cycle. Cancer remission. We pray in this third cycle. One thing we can know in a believer's life is that God's Spirit is still at work. Strategically directed encouragement or affliction. But God set in place in Paul's life and in Silas's life helpers. Amen? Helpers. Ones that came alongside to minister in his heart and life. We're gonna pick up next time, Lord willing, with this, and we're going to develop what God does through the affliction. Do you know that souls are going to get saved? Do you know he's going to break out of prison legally? He's going to survive an earthquake? All of these things are a part of God's will for Paul and Silas. But before they go through them, he sets in place some other things. Some helpers, a doctor, encouragers, like Lydia. Oh my. God takes care of his children. And we, at this Thanksgiving season, need to be sensitive that we are thanking God every day of our lives for his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. For the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the encourager, the one who comes alongside to minister to our daily lives. And then don't forget God the Father. Don't forget him. He's oftentimes the least one remembered in all of this. Who sent the Son? God the Father. Who's going to tell the Son when to come back? The Father will. Oh, the Father's very much in charge. Let us thank God for all that he has done for us, the people that he's put in our lives, the experiences that we go through on a weekly basis, some encouraging, some through affliction, but still encouragement found there. That God, by people, through the Spirit of God working in our hearts and lives, all these are part of living life here upon this earth as a Christian. So I want to encourage you today from God's Word. We go from they, Paul and Silas, to we, Luke. And then Lydia gets added in. And by the time, by the way, you read the book of Romans chapter 16, you see a long list there of ladies. I wonder many times if some of those ladies were the ones that were at the river praying at Philippi. I don't know. Some of those names are included there. But there are many, many people that are there. And these were all encouragers that encircled Paul and Silas and their ministry. And we need to be that kind of encouragement to the dear saints of God. Our missionaries need to hear from us. Our neighbors need to hear from us. Our friends, our family, we need to be talking with them. We need to be encouraging them in this regard so that we can help the Word of God here upon this earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your Word. I thank you for the people that you included in Paul's life that were an encouragement to him. I thank you, dear Father, for the fact that we have a friend with us at all times, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in our lives. Lord, we thank you for that comfort, for that encouragement. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon your Word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would instruct us and teach us and help us to understand more clearly what you were doing in the life of Paul and Silas and the strategically directed encouragement that was sent them to prepare them for what they're about to go through. And I pray that you would help us to grow in our faith, to grow in our help toward others, that we might take up that ministry of encouragement and picking up the phone and calling one of our friends or calling another church member or calling a missionary to let them know we're praying for them. We're concerned about them. We want to know how we can help. Lord, that outreach outside of ourselves is a way that we can help through the Holy Spirit's directing your people. We ask out your blessing as we conclude this service and as we have this meal. We thank you for it. We thank you for the hands that have prepared it. We thank you for the desserts that have been prepared. And we give you glory and praise, dear Father, for this beautiful day that you've given to us here at Bear Lake. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.